I still think Baby Gene Kennedy has one of the great voices. I wonder if she still sounds like this. I know that they've been touring. I haven't seen them in forever. Mother's Finest is a local rock group from Atlanta that was I was a huge fan of when back in the day. Anyway, great, classic. And I didn't mean John Frickie with you from the Northern Kia Studios, 11 o'clock on this New Year's Day live as we're headed towards the playoffs today. Want to hear about, from a Bama fan, which Bama team's going to show up, good Bama, bad Bama, against Indiana in the Rose Bowl. Georgia fans, how excited are you for the Sugar Bowl tonight? You know, a little bit of redemption for the Sugar Bowl last year and a chance to maybe play Carson Beck in the semifinals. And the Fiesta Bowl. I'm kind of curious as well from all of you Falcons fans what I was just talking to Banks about. And I'm not trying to be argumentative to Banks. I'm just trying to look. And this has nothing to do with Banks or his opinion about not wanting, or just doesn't think that Matt Ryan is there. We just disagree. I think Matt Ryan is ultimately qualified on every level and every way to make his role as CEO would to be make what? Football decisions. Who is more qualified to make a football decision about how the Falcons are handled in Flowery Branch than the guy who was the quarterback and the lead guy of the franchise for as many years? He knows Flowery Branch inside and out. He knows everything about Flowery Branch. He knows everything about the franchise. He knows everything about the organization. He knows where the weak spots are. And what are you asking him to do? For all I know, he's going to be put in charge of community relations, okay? I doubt that because they said significant role. And so that leads me to believe that if you're going to put Matt Ryan in a significant role, it's going to be head coach, general manager, or CEO, unless you're planning on firing Greg Beadles as team president. For my money, I think that, being the CEO, he knows football operations. He's got to make football moves. That's what we're talking about here. I'm not asking him to run the PR department. I'm not asking him to run the financials, or I'm not asking him to run anything but football decisions. And so when it comes to who is more qualified to run the football decisions of the Atlanta Falcons, some dude from the outside who's never set foot in Flowery Branch, or Matt Ryan? I started championing Matt Ryan in the middle of the season. I was on the air saying they need to bring Matt Ryan in. Some people were like, he can't afford to lose that TV money. I'm like, okay, if there's one area I do know it's TV, Matt Ryan will make a lot more. He's not making that much. Guys, he's making a lot, but he's not making, maybe he's making $1 million a year, maybe, to do TV, and which to you and me is more money than God. But in his world, $1 million a year is pretty easy to replace. I mean, he could make 10 times that. Because remember, when it comes to this, not saying he's going to be head coach. Who knows? Maybe he is. Head coach is, there's no salary cap for head coaches in the NFL. There is no salary, not like players. There's no salary cap on a head coach. And if Matt Ryan wants to, and no offense to being CEO, CEO might make, I don't know what a CEO of a football team, I could look it up. Let's say the CEO makes $2.5-3 million. A head coach in the NFL can make upwards of $20 million. I think the highest paid head coaches in the league probably are close to 20. You're looking at what? Andy Reid or who else? Sean Payton, some of the guys like that, right? That are going to be, near $20 million guys. In the NFL. 404-726-0929. Let's talk to Brad. He's on with John. Happy New Year, Brad.
Hey, Happy New Year, John. Talked with you yesterday about the Bama and Indiana, but that was a hell of a game last night with Miami, man. That defensive line is pretty strong. I'm excited, though. I think that gives Georgia kind of a motivation. Let's beat the snot out of Ole Miss and let's go get revenge from Carson Beck, I believe with that being said, Carson Beck seeing that Georgia red across the street from him, his nerves are going to be super high. So I feel like if his nerves are super high, maybe a pick six, maybe a couple of picks, who knows? What do you think?
Well, I think you got to get there first. And, I mean, the one thing I don't want you to do is start focusing on Carson Beck and not – not focus on Trinidad Chambliss.
Right, true. Yeah, you're right. So. You're right. You know, that's going to be a tough match tonight, but I feel like Georgia's got it, man. I mean, Georgia's too tough, and the way they've been playing here late in the season, I think, you know, beginning of the season, I would have never thought we'd be in this position that we are now, but being that they played halfway through the season, I believe we got a shot. We have to see what that offensive coordinator is going to throw at Georgia, whether Chambliss is going to run the ball on us, or is he going to throw it downfield? Because, you know, if you remember when we first played him, he picked our defense out. So we'll see.
Yep. No, that's why we play the games. I mean, very few people had Miami winning last night. I think it was like, you know, something like 75-25 Ohio State. And, Miami really played a great game. So it'll be really an intriguing day today.
Could you imagine how much money people lost yesterday?
Right. So I don't know. Is Miami going to be a trend here where, you know, suddenly the underdogs all kind of, you know, knock everybody out and we get a bunch of upsets? I have no idea. I mean, Brad, I do not bet on sports. This is exactly why I don't bet on sports.
With us being, this would be the 15 that's lost having that first round bye. And I don't know. I really don't know how they're going to do this, man. I wish they would put the playoff bracket like the NFL. You know, you got that first divisional round, you know, that first team, the first regional, you know, whatever. They get the first round bye, but then they play that second week. You know, they got to figure that one out. You know, they got to figure somewhere
among a million things, yes. Yeah, no, I agree. Thanks, Brad. Happy New Year to you. Let's go to Will. He's on the waveforward.com hotline with John. Hang on, Tito, Andre, JC. You'll be up next year. Hey, Will, welcome to the show.
Same to you. Happy New Year. I like the Matt Ryan hire. I would keep Fortin, though, because he came in here with Sarah Kev Pale, and you always have to remember the players picked are players picked by the coach and the owner, and I think Arthur Blank has a lot of influence on who we pick and bringing in the quarterback, about to put us back in quarterback hell, and picking other players. I do think we, like I said, get with all the rest of the coaches. Even though the defense coordinator has done pretty good, we got a lot of sacks, but we got a lot of sacks sitting in 5, 6, and 7 people. We need, when you got a defense that can get sacks with four linemen, then you're winning footballs. That way you're not playing 11-on-6, 11-on-7, because if you're sitting 5 or 6, 7 players, then you're playing 9-on-7-on-4. We got to get that 350-pound nose tackle in there where we can play 11-on-10. And I've been preaching that for years because that's how New England won championships. They had two of those 350-pound hogs. And if you go back and look at the film, sometimes Belichick had both of them in there. And when you had two 350-pound linemen in there on defense, you're playing 11-on-7. And you know, the blueprint championship has been won. You look at Kansas City, you look at the Giants when they won, Denver, all of them had the big elephant hog in the middle. And we do need some more players. We need a second receiver.
Yeah, but before all that, we can sit here. We got plenty of time to talk about that. We got plenty of time to talk about draft free agency and all that. We got to get a coach in here first.
We got to get a coach.
We got to figure out what we're doing.
Just let the general manager pick the coach and not the coach pick the like they did. And like Raheem, he had a trial here. He had a full coaching job. And then he came back and had a full coaching job here. So he's tried and true, and shows that he can't coach, he can't manage time. He don't have a clue.
It'll be really interesting. Well, I know what's going on. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do. Thank you for calling. I appreciate you taking the time here. You know, I agree. They've got to spend money on the interior defensive line. I can sit here and tell you that's why New England and Denver were dominant. I think there were guys like, I don't know, anybody, no quarterback for either team. I agree that they need to get more stout on the defensive, and they need to be a little bit more stout on the interior offensive line. They have to make decisions on their own free agents. You know, like Kyle Pitts and Tyler Allgeier and Caden Ellis and David Onyemata. I mean, they have their own free agents that they have to kind of deal with. So, yeah, no, there are a lot of decisions. But those are after, because you can't make those decisions now. The first thing you have to do is decide who's going to be making those decisions, who's going to be the general manager, who's going to be the head coach, who's going to be making those calls. We can't decide who's going to be making the call, right? 404-726-0929. Tito's with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hey, Tito.
Hey, Happy New Year, Johnny. I'm a Miami fan. I'm excited about winning last night, but all these bowls that we got to do, I just feel like we got to get rid of them. Because if we really win the Cotton Bowl, I'd rather just play Georgia or Ole Miss at home because we're the underdogs. They got to get rid of all this traveling. It's just insane because the bowls really don't matter anything. And Nebraska lost to us back in the days when I was born and went for the 2-point. I miss that kind of football. I'll just go back.
Well, of course you do. Yeah, of course. Yes, I remember. Sat in my living room crying for an hour. drank myself blind that night because, you know, one of my good friends later in life was the kicker on that team, Scott Livingston, who they pulled back off the field. If they had let him kick the extra point, it would have been a tie and Nebraska would have won the title. But that's neither here nor there. Of course you do as a Miami fan, because one of the things is true about teams like Nebraska and Oklahoma and schools from the north that had to win, you know, national titles, we always had to come to your place. I mean, we had to play multiple national title games against Miami and Florida State in Florida. You weren't coming to Lincoln to play a national title game. So, yeah, of course I'm in favor of home games. I want everybody to have to go. Look, if you got to go on the road and you're the Miami Hurricanes and you had to play Ohio State in Columbus last night when it was 17 degrees and blowing snow, that might change the game a little bit, right?
Right, it would, and I don't mind because that's how you got to play the game. They play the game. I don't care if we have to beat them at home. Just the traveling is just too much. I feel bad for Oregon fans because they're going all the way to Miami. What if they make it? They got to go all the way back to Miami. It's just insane.
I totally agree. Like, I mean, among other things, they got to change that. Yes, it's not the number one issue they're facing right now, because the number one issue they're facing right now is probably, you know, the portal and NIL and things of that nature. But yeah, they're going to have to address, you know, almost instantly. I've mentioned this before. If they're going to go to 16 teams next year, I think that's it'll actually be the year after. But if they're going to go to 16 teams next year, they're going to have to make that decision in the next probably 10 days.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm happy, but and another thing, the Hawks need to make a change with Trey. This draft is deep. They can get, like you said earlier, 3 players for one guy, and this draft is deep. I'm a UConn fan in college basketball. Yes, I'm a little different. I actually like college basketball better because I like the way it's run. There's a lot of deep players coming out of the – so the Hawks need to make a move quick.
So you're a Miami football fan, a UConn basketball fan. Are you? I assume you're a Dodgers baseball fan.
Well, so I grew up in New York.
I assume that, right? You were a Chiefs fan, but now you're looking for a new team in the NFL. I don't know how this works.
I'm teasing.
All right, it's just convenient. That's all. I never have anybody call up and say, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. I never have anybody call up and say, you know, I'm a UTEP fan in football, and I'm a Middle Tennessee State fan in basketball. That never happens. You know, it's always, you know, right? All right, quick break as we continue next. Live on this New Year's Day, it is quarterfinal day for half a dozen teams. Who's going to advance like the Canes did last night on Sports Radio 92 in the game? Sports Radio 92 in the game on a New Year's Day. This doesn't happen anymore, Noel, but it used to be, for those of us who are just slightly older, it used to be that the hardest thing you had to adjust to when the new year came was, Noel, have you written any checks in your life? Because I know that some of the, like my daughter said, I don't think she's ever written a check.
I've written a few.
Okay, well, we used to have to write a lot because we didn't have online bill pay or any of that. So you paid all your bills by check, and the hardest thing was to get to remind yourself, oh, 2026, to change the year. That happened a lot. This hour of the show is brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course, Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Did they have to say, I didn't write this. This hour brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course, Atlanta. Is there a second Bobby Jones Golf Course that I don't know about?
I have no idea.
Is there like Bobby Jones Golf Course Smyrna or Bobby Jones Golf Course Macon?
Maybe we're just gearing up for an expansion. You know,
I haven't played Bobby Jones in forever. Back before when it was still an 18-hole course, and not what it is now. I understand it's very nice. I wonder if they still have that they used to have. Do they have the par three that's like off the cliff? If anybody played Bobby Jones in the day, there was this par three, and you were up on top of the hill, and the hole was down here, and you had to hit like a pitching wedge, and it went straight up. It was like we'd all be leaning over the cliff, hoping we didn't fall to try to find the ball. All right. To Matt Ryan. I'm passionate about this, and I got a text from a friend of mine, Smart Howard, not Dumb Howard. Here, you know, I guess he sent it a little bit earlier, and I just saw it in this break here. And we went back and forth just a little bit here about how he thinks it's too risky to bring in somebody that doesn't have executive experience. And I'm like, look, let's roll the dice here. I think he's making, again, football decisions. And I don't know what role he's going to have, but he's going to be making football decisions about the Falcons and Flowery Branch and the franchise, and who knows that better than him? And so I guess, what do you got to lose? Because the last time this team was in the playoffs, you know, Matt Ryan was intimately involved so he knows how to get to, you know, what it takes to get to a team to a Super Bowl and to the playoffs because he was there. He did it. And, you know, I think that counts for something in my book. 404-726-0929. We go to JC. He's on with John. Hey, JC, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, sir? How you doing, sir? Great show. I have a stretch and I have a scenario. So I'm going to start with the stretch. Okay, for the L.A. Rams GM, Les Snead, who was a director of player pro personnel for the Atlanta Falcons from 2008 and 2011, mm-hmm. before going to the Rams organization, has not got his contract got extended in 2022 under McVay, but it ends after the 2026 season, to the point to which if there's a possibility that he can opt out of that contract and the Falcons try to give him the position of vice president of player operations, which Ryan Pace has, get him in, but also to oversee the GM role. If Matt Ryan comes in and becomes the GM, Les Snead can develop him as far as becoming the GM or make Matt Ryan the team president. Now, that opens the door to the situation after 2026 if the Rams do not extend either one of their contracts after this season, to the point it's a possibility that we may be able to get McVay. Because let's think about it. Les Snead was the same person that hired Morris to go become the Rams defensive coordinator when they won the Super Bowl during that time. So that's my stretch right there as far as Les Snead. Plus, he's an Alabama native. He's been a part of the Falcons organization. That's my stretch right there. But also, too, my scenario is if you're going to keep Morris, and if Matt Ryan becomes the team president of something whatsoever, hey, Morris, you know, we appreciate, you know, we're going to keep you. However, we're going to make our decision as far as the coordinator that we're going to bring in. So first, when I talk about the defensive coordinator, if Gannon, who won the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles, that's the Arizona head coach, if he's let go, in 2007, he was defensive quality control for the Falcons.
I think Jeff Albrecht's done. I'm with you up to this point. I think Jeff Albrecht's done a good enough job to retain him. Okay. I don't know why you wouldn't.
So I
don't understand that one. Why you wouldn't do that. If he'll stay.
So let's go with the offensive coordinator. Why not bring in former Falcon, former Arizona head coach that took them to the Super Bowl that they lost to Pittsburgh, won the Super Bowl with Pittsburgh, the offensive coordinator, and was assistant to Kevin Mularkey, who was Matt Ryan's first offensive coordinator at the Falcons.
Okay,
why not bring his
JC, we're way far afield here because I don't even know how to answer what you're talking about. And I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm saying, look, we have to have a couple of decisions here today, tomorrow, and Monday, right? by Monday. Is Matt Ryan going to be with the organization? What's his role going to be with the organization? And within that, what's going to happen to Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris? Once that happens, if they retain Raheem Morris, will they fire the coaches? I can't. We can sit here and speculate on this guy and that guy, and I have no clue. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. You can put it down on paper and see if you're right, but I can't tell you. I can't answer it.
I will hope Vice President of Player Operations. I will hope so, because I don't want to see John McKay, who is Rich McKay's son, is the assistant GM for the Falcons. I don't want to see him coming.
Other way around, but yeah, I got you. All right, appreciate it. Thanks for the call, JC. 404-726-0929. Danny, welcome to the show, Danny.
Well, Happy New Year, John. A resolution is for us not to argue this year.
Yeah, well, my second marriage, I can handle that one. I can hold that resolution.
I think you're going to be in agreement with what I'm going to say here. And I could go on and on about how Terry Fontenot and Raheem should both be fired, but I'll give you my top number one reason on both of them, and then we'll move on from there. So even though they won the game against Tampa Bay Thursday night, 10 days ago, whatever, I about had a heart attack. It's 28-14. Tampa Bay is leading the game. Atlanta gets a touchdown, 28-20. Raheem goes for two. Why? Because analytics said they don't make the two-point conversion. Then it's 28-20. Then they get another touchdown, and he goes for two again. It doesn't make. Now, they won the game, but my point is that was absolute stupidity. And the guy is not a head coach.
If this is nothing, I can't believe. Let me ask you, let's broaden this out a little bit. Let's say they win and they beat the Bagheads on Sunday and they go unbeaten against the Swampers this year.
Yep.
If they make a decision in regards to whether to return Raheem Morris, head coach, based on this four-game win streak at the end of the year, that's the wrong way to do this, in my opinion.
Absolutely. So let's move on to – so we agree there. And the teams they've beaten the 4 weeks, other than the Rams, listen, the Cardinals, and then – I go on and on, Raheem.
I don't care if they beat the four best teams in the NFL. They were eliminated with five games Correct. To go, full stop.
Right. So we agree. For New Year, we agree. On the Terry Fontenot thing, and I've been here – the Kirk Cousins contract, the worst – in my opinion, worst contract in Atlanta sports history. It was absolutely insane. And then nothing personal against Michael Penix. Thought he's a great player in college. Loved the guy personally. I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. He cannot scramble. He was terrified to get hit, all the injuries. He would have dropped. So Terry Fontenot has to go. You have to move on from him. I don't know what, just to end the conversation, what do the Falcons do next year, irregardless if they have a new GM and coach? Do you keep Kirk Cousins for $45 million to take the cap hit? If you cut Kirk Cousins, Penix will be ready. So we don't have a quarterback, really, for next year, John. And Happy New Year, and I'll hang up and listen to what you think about the quarterback for next year. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you, Danny. Happy New Year. I haven't given up on Michael Penix. So other people, I guess, have. I don't know when he's going to be back. They haven't updated us. They haven't let us know, okay? But I haven't given up on Penix, and I think a lot of what happened with Penix was that he wasn't coached up properly. I think getting a better coaching, and I think Matt Ryan probably, I'm going to guess that Matt Ryan was probably pretty vocal behind the scenes about the development of Michael Penix, saying the guy's got a lot of raw talent, and he's not being developed. That's my guess. I can see that happening, and that's what kind of sparked the conversation about, well, why don't you come in here and help develop him in some capacity by getting the right people in or by you doing it yourself or things of that nature. So I haven't given up on Penix. And I don't know if he'll be ready for the start of the year next year. I mean, everybody seems to think, again, it's hard for us to guess, guys. I mean, well, we have to get a bridge quarterback. Well, I think we have to get a veteran quarterback in case he's not, but we can't assume that he won't be. I because we don't know, right? Well, John, you don't know. Stop it. I don't know either. Let's not pretend that we know anything. It's going to be fascinating the next, you know, 5 days here with the Atlanta Falcons. That's for sure. All right, quick break here. And I can't pretend to know anything either about what's going to happen with Terry or Raheem. But I could argue to keep Terry and get rid of me, Raheem. I could do that. But that's not going to be my call. On Sports Radio 99 The Game. This is a day. We have semifinals on the line with the final three quarterfinal games today. Oregon and Texas Tech will kick off in the Orange Bowl in about 20, 25 minutes from now. That'll lead us to the Rose Bowl between Alabama and Indiana and, of course, the Sugar Bowl tonight. Ole Miss and Georgia. Ole Miss, of course, without Lane Kiffin. That's the big change there. And how will they respond? You know, I mean, it's that like thing. You know, Noel White, the thing that you put into a text or when you post with a guy or the gal who has their hands up, you know, and shrugging their shoulders of who knows, you know that little thing. You went, hell, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of after last night, because everybody, Ohio State is the greatest team in the country, and they just had a bad day against Indiana, and they're going to steamroll the Hurricanes. The ACC doesn't belong in.
Okay. You sure?
Okay. Yeah, Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, is sitting around going, Miami's 2-0. They're 2-0 in the playoffs. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Chris Moten shoots me a post on X. My X is at JOHNFRICKE. He says, Falcons need to get a veteran quarterback. Keep hearing the name Jimmy G or Russ Wilson. Want to know your thoughts on who they think you should or could get it to fill in until Penix is back. Chris, my answer is... I don't know what the new coach wants to do in terms of an it's impossible for us to talk about players. It really truly is, because we don't know if who's going to be the coach, who's going to be making the call. What offense are they going to want to run? Are they going to want to have a more mobile quarterback? Are they going to want to be a pocket quarterback? Do they want to, by the way, do they want to keep Kirk Cousins? Do they want to sit down with Kirk? Is Mr. Blank not really mad at him for lying to him? Do they want to sit down with Kirk and take that money and say, Kirk, if you want to stay here, we will, you know, we'll keep you and we'll rework the deal so we're not getting killed, so we can create some more room to be able to go out and get you another wide receiver? And if you're Kirk Cousins at his age and he says, sure, I mean, is it entirely plausible that Kirk Cousins could still be on the team next year? The answer to that is yes. And then they have to say to Kirk, well, at some point, though, Michael Penix might come back, and if you haven't exactly earned the job, let's say he doesn't come back till week six, if you haven't, you know, we're at week six, week seven, and you're not earning the job, we're going to turn to him. As you know, maybe it was a lack of them being up front to him about this whole Michael Penix thing. No, it's your team. Don't worry about it. You got this for 2 years. I have no idea. And he didn't believe him. Whatever the dynamic was. So if they go out and get a veteran quarterback, I mean, again, it's also based on when Penix is going to come back. I mean, do you need a veteran quarterback who could start a bunch of games? Is Penix going to be back next year? Or do you just need a veteran backup who can kind of hold down the fort until Penix gets back? Chris, I'm sorry. We have to do – this is a step-by-step process, boys and girls. I want to be able, like you, to speculate, but we can't – until after Monday, we can start speculating – on the draft and on free agency, both cuts and things of that nature and quarterbacks. I don't think we can do that till Tuesday, okay? Because between now and Tuesday, we have to forget that we have to play a game against the Bagheads. We have to determine, is Matt Ryan coming to the franchise? If he is, what role is he going to have and what call is he going to make? Is it going to be, as they said, significant, and we have to get to that point, or is it going to be a lesser role? I can't believe he's coming for a lesser role, but I have no idea. They just said significant, whatever that means, right? And then what's the decision on Black Monday regarding Raheem Morris? Is he back? Is he back with some kind of caveat that he has to change offensive coordinators? Who is the new offensive coordinator then, and what are they going to want to run? See, all these things have to happen before we start talking about other players and player movement, okay? We can't talk about anything else because free agency is down the road, the draft is down the road, post-June 1 cuts are down the road. We have to figure out this first before we can even begin to discuss that. And so I'm sorry, Chris. I apologize that I'm really no help. I just can't answer the question. And I want to be brutally honest about that. Andre's been patient. I do appreciate it. Andre at 404-726-0929. Andre, welcome to the program.
Hey, good. Thanks, man. Happy New Year to you, John. I said this before, I'm going to say it again. You got the greatest voice in radio, man. So,
well, thank you, Andre.
You have made my day.
What is up? What do you got, Andre?
Man, you know, well, the thing about it, man, the announcement about Matt Ryan, it's got me excited, man, because finally I think Mr. Blank has somebody in the office who knows about football and knows about it at a high level. And if he is the CEO, and I've you know, spoke to you earlier about keeping Raheem and everything, but if Matt Ryan comes in and runs everything, if he decides to get rid of Raheem, I'm with it. If whoever he brings in, I'll trust it. I will say this, though. I think Fontenot could still keep his job and should still keep his job because he basically has improved this roster in 2 years. So I think that would happen, but the hire of Matt Ryan could change the whole focus on this team, could change the whole culture on this team to be in a winning culture. And I just love it, man. I just love it.
I mean, we don't know, Andre, what role Matt Ryan will have with the franchise, but I am a believer in certain things. One, where there's smoke, there's fire. So the Falcons would have put the fire out about any rumors regarding Matt Ryan and a role with the franchise immediately. I mean, David Bassidy and Brett Jukes and the people that are in charge of that would have called out the fire engines and put the retardant on it and dropped it from the air, you know, by airplane, say, no, Matt Ryan's not going to have anything to do with it. The fact that they didn't says to me that Matt Ryan's coming back in a flowery branch. The question is, at what role? And the only thing said is significant, and I can't believe, Andre, that when we talk about the word significant, that Matt Ryan isn't going to be making the calls. I just don't believe that there's anything less.
True that, man. True that. Well, thanks for taking my call, man. And I got one cool question for you, John. Where's Loganville?
Thank you, Andre. Do appreciate it. Is Andre in Loganville? Loganville is, okay, it was a commercial. Noel, do you remember that commercial, that TV commercial?
Not off the top of my head, no.
It was a TV commercial for a company. All right, somebody may have to correct. I'm pretty sure it was a company that had a company called Unclaimed Freight. Okay, it was like a Big Lots, Unclaimed Freight, Atlanta, Hapeville, Decatur, and Doraville, and oh no, that was Unclaimed Freight. All right, I'm missing it. Somebody help me out here. That wasn't Unclaimed Freight. That was Atlanta, Hapeville, Decatur, Doraville. That's not Loganville. There was a commercial where the guy says, "In Loganville." All right. Anyway, neither here nor there. There's an old guy on the radio talking about commercials. The next thing you know, he's going to talk about Ludlow Porch and Zesto's. I was at the Zesto's. They're across from White Columns there on Peachtree.
Not the Zesto's. Think that Zesto's is,
huh? You remember Zesto's?
Yeah.
I think Ludlow went across the street to the Zesto's that used to be on Peachtree across from White Columns, and he just, like, you know, was there every day and finally said, well, you know, I got a radio show. Well, he wasn't at White Columns. He was at Ring Radio. What am I talking about? Okay, I'll stop. Because we don't want to talk about the past. We want to talk about the future here. Again, coming up in about a few minutes, Oregon, Texas Tech. So I want to get your take, Noel. I know Garrett's going to come in top of the hour here. Who do you like today? Noel White, based on the fact that, you know, 75% of the public got last night wrong, Oregon and Texas Tech. Oregon is an underdog. Texas Tech is an underdog, 2.5-point underdog to Oregon in the Orange Bowl. Who do you like in that game?
I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards Texas Tech.
Did last night change you?
A little bit of last night, and Oregon's been trending in the wrong direction, in my opinion.
Okay. Alabama-Indiana Rose Bowl. Indiana is a 6.5-point favorite. Who do you like?
Oh, this is the toughest one. I feel like Indiana's more consistent than Alabama, but good Alabama is really good. But I'm going to go with Indiana.
And then Georgia and Ole Miss Sugar Bowl late tonight.
I still feel like Georgia's the most, well, maybe Miami's the most dangerous team now, but I still feel like Georgia's one of those teams you're going to have to go through. So I'm going to take Georgia over Ole Miss.
Yeah, I still think Georgia's the most dangerous team, too. Texas Tech could surprise some people today as to how good they really are. This is the game where it's like their coming out party. And so we'll see. That's going to be really intriguing. But I will say one piece of caution to Hurricanes fans. Look, you have, I think you proved to everybody, you have a pretty solid line. I mean, nobody's going to doubt that you can run the football with Fletcher and that you, and I said yesterday that I liked Miami because of Bane and Messidor, that defensive line is really good. Ohio State's offensive line is, you know, it's not great, okay? It's just not. And so if you get up against a better offensive line, your line will still have some effect, but it won't have as much effect on the game maybe. And you have to hope, if you're a Miami fan, that Carson Beck doesn't revert to, I'll throw it to the other team, Carson Beck. Because you could be all excited about you're the team to beat, but if you face Georgia in the semis and Carson Beck gets a case of the yips against his old team, next thing you know, Miami's going to be out. And you're going to go, what happened to the greatest team in the U.S. back? Well, like Alabama, there's good Carson Beck and bad Carson Beck. And they made it clear to Carson Beck, you don't have to win us the game, just don't lose it for us. You are like Trent Dilfer. You are like, you know, Joe Flacco. Don't lose the Super Bowl for us. Just don't lose it. You don't have to win it. We're not asking you to make bombs down the field and throw for 400 yards and five touchdowns. We're just saying don't lose the game because Carson Beck can do that. Georgia fans know that. They saw it. Okay? Let's not forget Miami lost games this year. They lost two. They lost to Louisville and SMU. Now, Louisville and SMU are good teams. They're not exactly Georgia. They're not exactly anybody that's left. Because Louisville and SMU aren't here for that reason. Because Carson Beck was, you know, tossing and getting picked off and all that kind of stuff. So we're talking today, and Garrett will be here top of the hour, and we'll get into a little bit more college football, get his thoughts, because he's fresh back from the Pop-Tart Bowl, which is both the most clever bowl game and by far, like, with the whole Pop-Tart things, right, the Pop-Tart, and, like, the most disturbing. It's like, you know, the Pop-Tarts are jumping in the toaster and committing suicide on Pop-Tart's side on what's going on here. So anyway, we'll ask him about that with his experience. But boy, Georgia Tech was right there, weren't they? Couldn't quite get it done. But what is your confidence level if you are a fan of a team today? Did Miami shatter everybody's confidence level? Maybe not Georgia fans. Maybe they're the ones who just have a confidence level that's so high still. Because partly because they played Ole Miss before and they know what to expect. Tomorrow is the portal. Are we going to get our first $5 million man? And will it be a quarterback? The question is which quarterback and what team does he go to? Talking about Brendan Sorsby or going, DJ Lagway could be a $5 million man. Well, Carson Beck was a $4.3 million man. And that investment for Miami has paid off. They have won two playoff games. They are into the semifinals. And then Black Monday. What's Matt Ryan's role going to be? What are the Falcons going to do on Black Monday? Because if they're going to make a change of coach, they cannot wait. They have to pull the trigger now. Because if they have an idea of who they want to hire, whether if they're going to bring in a Clint Kubiak or if they're going to bring in a Joe Brady, or and again, Tom Monk is just a me thing. If they're going to bring in that guy, they can't wait. Somebody else will snatch him up. And then what's the point of all this? It's all ahead here as we take you to 2 o'clock this afternoon on this playoff New Year's Day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you, Noel.